This podcast contains explicit material. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to a mini episode of The Joy of Text, a podcast about orthodoxy and sexuality. My name is Maharat Rami Smith. I am moderator of The Joy of Text, and with me are Rabbi Dov Linzer, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Chol Vei Torah, and Dr. Batsheva Marcus, the president of JOFA and clinical director of Mies Women's Health.
So the text I have for this evening is the Birkat Erusin, the blessing that we make for marriage or for betrothal. I think it's such an interesting blessing because, well, let me just deal with the text. The text is, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, blessed are you God, King of the Universe, Asher Kidishanu B'mitzvotav, you sanctified us with your mitzvos, V'tzivanu Al Harayot, you commanded us not to have sex with women who are forbidden, V'asar Lanu Et Harusot, forbade on us the women that we are betrothed to, prior to the next stage, which is the Nisuin and the Chuppah, V'hiter Lanu Et Hanesuot Lanu Ayidei Chuppah V'kidushin, and made permissible to us women that are fully married to us through Chuppah and the act of betrothal. And then, Baruch Atah Hashem, bless you God, M'kadesh Amo Yisrael Ayidei Chuppah V'kidushin. You bless your nation Israel through the Chuppah and the Kidushin, the betrothal. The betrothal is the giving of the ring, and the Chuppah is the standing under the Chuppah, which signifies that they're not only married as a matter of law, but they actually have actualized it and are living together, shared domicile, have begun their sexual life together, and so on. So what I find fascinating about this is that the way we give a blessing to Kidushin focuses on
what was not allowed,
the women that a man is not allowed to marry, but not only that, but that the act of Kiddushin, the woman is still forbidden to him. And that somehow that's part of the blessing of what Kiddushin is about.
Wait, explain that again?
Yeah, the blessing is that women who we men, it's in the male voice, have betrothed, given the ring to, are forbidden to us. I'm still not allowed to have sex with the woman I betrothed until I actually now have the nisuin and stand under the chuppah with her.
Uh-huh.
So what's the significance of giving a blessing to the fact that this act I've just done and given my fiancé this ring has now still made her forbidden to me? You know, has not made her permitted to me. So we would think that the blessing should be a blessing that you've given us this institution of marriage which sanctifies sexual life, which allows her to be permitted to me. And maybe that's why it ends with saying, you sanctify us with chuppah and kiddushin, because we are saying at the end of the day, the chuppah does create that framework to allow for a sanctified sexual life. I have some thoughts, but I want to put to you a question about why do you think that we're giving significance to the fact that it's still forbidden at the first stage?
So that's actually not even what jumped out to me. When I think about that bracha, what I think about is Mekadesh Yisrael al Yadei Chuppah v'Kiddushin, that the same word that's used for our relationship with God is used for the relationship between the bride and groom, and that somehow that's connected just the same way that God is Mekadesh us, the same kind of Kiddushin is replaying itself under the chuppah.
So that's a very good idea. And I will say some Rishonim, some of the medieval commentators actually say that the bracha is like the bracha of Kiddush. And that's why you make it on a cup of wine, although the cup of wine was introduced after the Gemara. And it has a similar, the end of it certainly sounds like the bracha of Kiddush.
Well, Rami definitely had a better, more positive spin than I do, because I am a wedding sucker. Like, I love weddings, and I hate this bracha for all the reasons you just said. It just feels like, well, I guess the piece of allows it to me, allows it to men, makes her available, you know, previously unavailable, now available. It's funny, I don't get hung up on the objectification thing in general. That's just not my problem. But this one really feels objectified to me.
To me, what's powerful about it is the general point. I think we've discussed before, there's opinions about what is the nature of if a woman isn't a nida to have sex outside of marriage, and that this emphasizes that whatever prohibitions might exist, marriage sanctifies the sexual life, and it's about sort of seeing marriage as what gives sanctity to the sexual life. But the issue about why at the first stage women are forbidden, the thought I have is that it says that marriage is about more than sex. If marriage would start with making sex permissible, if that would be the stage one, it would all be about the sex. And then when the sex life is on the rocks or the relationship is on the rocks, well, then the marriage is a dead marriage and everybody goes their own way. But if you start with a commitment and a reality of marriage that precedes the sexual life, then that creates the hope that if there are problems, that the commitment can seethe its way through those problems. If what marriage is about is this idea of sanctifying sexual life, it's important to also state that it's not reduced to that and that there's an element of commitment that precedes that. So that's a thought that
really
I have.
It's really lovely. It really is really lovely. It just doesn't feel so genuine. It just feels a little bit like a kvetch to me. But legitimately, don't you feel like that?
Yeah, I agree. I think Kiddushin feels very acquisitional.
And that's a separate discussion. We're talking about the bracha.
This is a nice drash on separating something, but I agree with you that it's not usually my struggle, but I do find that this is kind of a difficult pill to swallow because it does, at the end of the day, feel like I'm setting you aside and it feels too acquisitional to be romantic.
The idea of something being kadosh, something being set aside and separate, and that is kind of what makes it special and holy, is a lovely idea. I don't have a problem with the idea. It's sort of the way in which this is articulated that I have problems with. I mean, I really appreciate that you're raising it as a text, because it's not really, I always felt a little funny about the text, but it kind of washed over me, and it's nice to sort of pay attention to it and think about it a little bit, even if it's not the most comfortable thing.
Also,
and
I think this happens a lot under the chuppah. This happens very quickly, so a lot of times people don't stop to think about what's actually being said under the chuppah, so it's nice to slow down.
You were emphasizing, Remy, the acquisitional aspect after having just said that the whole emphasis of mikdash frames it in this very powerful
I realize that, but maybe that's why my brain takes me to connecting the Kiddushin pieces, because I'm trying not to focus on the acquisitional pieces. But I think I was just, as you said, it jumped out to me before my brain even actually could think of what I wanted to think about this. The two words just connected in my head.
This is the bracha before the giving of the ring. That's the Masada Kiddushin. The rabbi officiating makes this bracha right before the groom gives the ring to the bride.
Right.
So it's about the giving of the ring, but ultimately it culminates in the chuppah, which is the end of the process.
My husband and I have this joke, like every time I see somebody give somebody a ring at a wedding, I start to cry. I just find it very, this is really cynical, but I feel like it's the triumph of hope over experience.
That's
like,
what they say second marriages are.
Exactly, but I feel like that even often about first marriages. But having said that, it's such an amazing moment when there's so much hope. Everybody in the room, like I'm going to cry as I say this. You sit there and you watch these people and they have so much hope and so much belief in what their future will be like together. And it's such a powerful, beautiful moment. And somehow not focusing on the words makes it a little bit easier for me.
Great.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. I thought that was an interesting text.
It was a great text.
I liked not knowing what it was before you said it. If you have questions for the show or want to write in with comments, please submit them anonymously at www.thejoyoftext.org. The Joy of Text is produced by Jewish Public Media, which is supported in part by a grant from Next and Natan. This episode was recorded by Mike Hurst. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or with any podcast app. My name is Maharat Ramey Smith, and thank you for listening.